What does labor want from the Washington legislature in the current session? Jeff Johnson is president of the Washington State Labor Council. The council represents 600 local unions with 400,000 rank-and-file members. Two of his top priorities will sound familiar to Seattleites: mandatory paid sick leave and a hike to the state's minimum wage. Jeff Johnson joined us from Olympia, and he told me without paid sick leave, workers face a tough question.
Workers have to choose between their paycheck and their own health, their paycheck and the health of their children, as well as putting the public at greater risk.
How much paid sick time would be in this bill if it passes?
If it passed, the bill would read very much like the Seattle paid sick ordinance. So employers would, depending upon their size, provide either 5 days, 7 days, or 9 days of accrued sick leave, which would also carry over from year to year.
Would there be any exemptions for smaller businesses?
There is no exemption for smaller businesses in this statewide bill.
Seattle passed the $15 an hour minimum wage law, and the state's minimum wage is already one of the highest in the nation at $9.47. Why should the state raise the minimum wage higher?
That's a good question, Ross. So yes, you're right. We are the highest state minimum wage in the country at $9.47. But the truth is, $9.47 an hour isn't enough. What we know from the demographics of minimum wage workers is that they are primarily adults. Many of them are single head of household, and $9.47 just doesn't cut it anymore. We've polled on that issue as well as sick leave, and the polling is off the charts. Working class folks, when they sit down at their kitchen table and think about real issues, both income and employment insecurity are at the top of the list.
Jeff Johnson is president of the Washington State Labor Council. Now, as you know, many critics dismiss these proposals. They say they're too costly. They put too much burden on business owners that are already struggling. Why should the state pass laws that some think will make it harder for business and industry?
Well, you know, the truth is, you know, there haven't been any studies, credible studies that I've seen, that actually justify that or back that up. These bills, were they to pass, we actually think would bolster the bottom lines of businesses, but more importantly, it would increase the morale of workers and make them much more committed to the places where they work right now. You know, in terms of a minimum wage increase, we know that every dollar, every penny that the minimum wage goes up, goes right back into Main Street to purchase things. Paid safe and sick leave is something that is going to make further commit a worker to their employer, that they're getting these days off so that they can heal up, come back, and do their job properly.
Now, similar bills on paid sick leave and minimum wage have failed in the legislature in the past. What's going to make it different this year?
You're right. If you ask me to make a bet, will they pass all the way through both sides of the legislature and end up on the governor's desk? I guess I'd probably say no, they won't. But what's important for us is to keep the dialogue going, particularly at a time when income inequality has intensified, has gotten even worse year by year. We want the legislators to have to face these issues and tell us, where are you on these issues? People are watching. They want to know. They want you to be accountable. And if you think that raising the minimum wage or providing a minimum level of sick leave to people is wrong, tell us why.
Well, sick leave and minimum wage don't affect all workers in Washington State. It affects a small subset of workers. Why should other Washingtonians care about them?
So paid safe and sick leave, about 1 million workers in the state of Washington do not have any paid sick days. All Washingtonians should be concerned about that because, let's face it, many that don't have sick days work in the hospitality industry and restaurants and food service. So even if you don't care about others' health, you should care about your own. But I think the truth is most people are much more generous of spirit, and they get it, that everyone needs paid sick days to take care of themselves, to take care of their children. And same thing with minimum wage. I think Washingtonians have a great sense of fairness.
Washington State Labor Council President Jeff Johnson. For more on labor in the legislature, Austin Jenkins, KUOW's Olympia correspondent, joins us. Good afternoon, Austin.
Hello, Ross. Great to be here.
We just heard Jeff Johnson say Washingtonians have a great sense of what's fair. Do you think that Washington legislators share that same vision of what's fair when it comes to workers?
Well, what I think is that labor and business issues and conflicts are one of the central and overriding and persistent and consistent themes in a state legislature. I mean, really, so many issues sort of break down along these lines. And so you've got Democrats often speaking about the plight of the worker or the employee, and then you have the business side talking about the plight, especially of small business owners trying to run a business in a complicated and expensive environment. And so those two clashes, and they're really culture clashes, we see often come together. So these particular proposals, what you will see is Democrats largely being the backers of them and many Democrats signing on to these bills, and Republicans quite wary.
Now, the Washington Labor Council's Jeff Johnson says that mandatory sick leave is good for workers and good for business because it improves morale and keeps sick workers out of the office. What are you hearing from lawmakers about paid sick leave?
And I just want to note that my understanding is that that paid sick leave bill would exempt employers with four or fewer employees. At least the bill I'm looking at says that, and I just want to make that point. What I'm hearing is that this is part of a national conversation. You certainly have heard President Obama in the last couple of State of the Union speeches talking about both paid leave and then previously minimum wage. So this is part of a national movement. We're also seeing, you know, these local measures, the SeaTac measure, what's happening in the city of Seattle. This is part of a larger effort to get these issues, and Jeff Johnson alluded to this, to get these issues front and center, to make them part of campaigns, and to make them part of state legislative campaigns. And so what it is really is that this is what happens here is probably not as important as the backers trying to push this more broadly. And what we really see is the potential for ballot measures in 2016, you know, and that's just a couple of years away. And I think that that's what may put the pressure on lawmakers to want to do it here rather than see the advocates just write a ballot measure that works for them and maybe doesn't take into the account the business interests that could be here for the process if they're helping write these bills.
On minimum wage, the bill has been introduced to raise the state minimum wage to $12 an hour. We heard Jeff Johnson say that's kind of unlikely in his view. Do you agree with that?
Ross, just repeat the question.
Do you think it is unlikely that the state minimum wage will go up to $12 an hour? That's the bill that's been introduced in the House.
Well, keep in mind, it didn't pass out of the House last year, and Democrats control the House. There does seem to be sort of more of a groundswell this year for it. And I would just go back to the idea that I think where the business community is on this is weighing the risk potential of not supporting something, and it goes on the ballot. Now, keep in mind that the restaurant industry is interested in tip credit. So some changes to the way that the minimum wage is viewed for the restaurant industry. There's also talk about a training wage and a teen wage. It is possible that on the minimum wage specifically, you could have, it's a little oft used, but a grand bargain where business interests get some of what they want, the labor side gets some of what it wants, and both sides avoid the potential of a ballot measure. That's possible. Right now, I think it's, you know, maybe not even 50-50 on that.
Well, Seattleites are familiar with these issues because Seattle already passed the paid sick leave ordinance and raised the city minimum wage to $15 an hour. So that got us curious. If Seattle enacts initiatives, does that influence similar legislation in Olympia for better or for worse?
Yeah, right. I think maybe for worse. You know, Seattle is sort of the, you know, the gorilla in the room, if you will. It's certainly the biggest city. But often what happens in Seattle is sort of viewed with antipathy down here in Olympia. And so I'm not sure that what's happening in Seattle is helping the cause of these backers of these you know, labor-backed issues. That said, you know, we see incubators of ideas being, you know, at the local level. And so while states can be incubators for national change, local municipalities can be incubators for change at the state legislature. And I think that that's, again, what the backers are hoping. But it can easily be painted that, well, what's good for Seattle isn't good for the rest of the state. This is just Seattle trying to bigfoot its idea of utopia onto the rest of the state. And I think it can be a negative for those who think that these are the right policies for the state.
And I guess if you did a head count, all the Seattle legislators don't really amount to much when it comes to passing bills in Olympia.
Well, you know, Seattle and King County have a lot of votes and they have, you know, a lot of lawmakers. The districts are, you know, this is where the population center is. But, you know, I will also note that Seattle is talking about a $15 an hour minimum wage. This state measure is $12. So already you're seeing something different at the state legislative proposal level. But you know, yeah, and the other part of it is you need more than just Seattle. I mean, the point I think you're making is you need 50 votes in the House to pass this bill. You're not going to get all 50 votes from Seattle. So there's got to be a broader appeal. And then you've got to work in a Republican-led Senate where 25 votes are needed. And so there are the numbers games, and you do need kind of a coalescing of a broader faction to come together behind these things besides just Seattleites.
KUOW's Olympia correspondent, Austin Jenkins. Thanks, Austin.
You're welcome, Ross.